You come for these?
Oh, I was just going to take them, actually. And shall we give them or not? I mean, how many of us think we should give them to the young people? How many think we should keep them for ourselves? Wow, I think you just about won that one. Well done, well done. And for the embarrassment of coming over here, you deserve them anyway. Thank you very much indeed. Great, thank you. Well, thank you. Add to Tom's welcome to you today, and it's great to be able to be together and to worship God together, to be one heart and one voice as we come into his presence and as we get ready for this Christmas season as well. Very excited. I think all of you should have had one of these on your seat or nearby. Please make sure that you grab one, you hand it on, you give it away, you invite somebody, and no better time than to start tonight to just knock on your neighbor's door, perhaps if they're local enough to be able to come, or to a member of your family, give them a call and say you're going to come and join us tonight as we start our Christmas together. So please make the most of every opportunity. And let's see what God wants to do in the lives of people who we've been praying for to come to know Jesus. Rob's going to come and read to us this morning. Is that right, Rob? Right, yeah. Thank you. You look as if you're ready to read. So do come and read to us from God's Word, from John chapter 6. I'm going to move this Advent calendar away as well. I don't know who deserves that, but I'll put that there for now.
John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Amen. Thanks very much, Rob. Thank you. Please keep that passage open if you've got your Bible there with you today. We're in a series, as Tom said, that we've called Revealed, and looking at how Jesus declared himself and the sort of character and personality and why he came into our world, and using John's gospel as a sort of template of the 7 I Am sayings that are contained in John's gospel, we've been trying to look at this clear announcement that Jesus made about who he was and why he had come into our world. And I think it's good for us to revisit some of those things that we think we know in order just to learn something new and to discover something fresh about who Jesus is and the impact he not only can have on our lives, but also on the lives of those who we know and into our community as well. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus saying, I am the vine, and looked at how important it is to stay plugged in to the source of life itself. And when we stay plugged into Jesus, then our life is going to display fruit. It's bound to happen as we stay connected into who Jesus is. And last week, we looked at Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and about the direction that our lives are taking and the purpose that we have and what it is that he calls us to in our lives in how we follow him and how we're obedient to his call. If you've missed any of them, please don't forget that on the church website, there's a podcast there as well available. So do catch up with those and maybe use them for your own help during this Christmas Advent time. So today I want us to pick up this phrase in John chapter 6, verse 35, just a little bit further on from this particular story, but definitely connected to this parable, this living parable that Jesus shared with the people over the bread and the fish, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying, I'm enough. I'm enough for you. And in the story we just heard Rob read, and in all we know about Jesus, I think it's pretty clear that Jesus came to be enough for us. We live in a world that is very unhappy, do you think, at the moment? A bit unsure about the future, a bit uncertain about what is going to happen next. But Jesus announces to us today, whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. Will be satisfied. Will have enough. And in a world that always seems to be chasing for more, and perhaps we too suffer from that in our own lives, Jesus is saying, if you come to me, you'll be satisfied. You'll have that sense of fullness in your life. And he says these amazing words after feeding the 5,000. We just heard the story read to us, and a very familiar story for many of us here, I'm sure. But even that story was a reminder to those who sat there that day that there was another story thousands of years before that the people of Israel had lived through themselves as well. You might remember that the people of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt. You'll read about it in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers. And into that context, they then had Moses come and ask the Pharaoh to let the people go. And into that, eventually, after the series of plagues, Pharaoh let the people go, and they escaped through the Red Sea and then started their wandering around in the wilderness. But God provided for them enough in that wilderness experience. Even though they'd left the land of Egypt as slaves and become free, God provided them what the Bible calls manna, bread, so that they could eat during that time of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And just as God had provided for them then, Jesus is declaring on this mountainside to the people that I'm the one that's being provided for you. That once again, God is showing up in your midst to give you enough for whatever it is that life is throwing at you. But just as God provided it for them then and they doubted him, so Jesus says to them, do you know what? As I've told you, you've seen me and you still do not believe. And just as the people of Israel in that land of the wilderness doubted God's provision and got fed up with God and didn't trust him through it, despite what he'd done, Jesus saying, you know what? It's just the same now. That even though you've seen me, even though you've heard about me, even though I've provided for you, you're still in danger of not believing in me. You're still in danger of not believing that I'm enough for you. You're still in danger of chasing other things to try and make life more satisfying when all along I'm here and you just need to look to me and I'll provide you with enough. And just like the Israelites grumbled in the wilderness, so the people around Jesus started grumbling again. Instead of receiving the bread of life, they started grumbling that they wanted more, that it wasn't enough. Now, I've been opening some presents already this Christmas, and I've got a couple more under the tree to open today. So if you don't mind me opening, I know, but it is the 1st of December now, so I think I can get away with it now, even with Tom. I can get away with opening a present on the... Oh, look what I've got today, look. Wow, look at this, two tin cans, isn't that great? But they're not just two tin cans, of course. They're what? They're a telephone, Stephen. Can I call you? I don't know whether these actually work or not, do they? Do you have to have it? Are you going to speak? It's amazing. I just heard him over there as well, but it is quite amazing. He just said that he loved me, which is really kind, Stephen. Thank you so much. Do you know, when my dad was 6 years old, he would have played with one of them. Did some of you play with one of these? Were you happy playing with one of these? Yes, of course you were happy playing with them. I've got another present to open now. Two today. Not bad, is it? Oh, look. How many of you played with one of these? If you're my age, you definitely had one of these. You know, when I was 6 years old, I had one of these, and it was wonderful. Oh, and it's amazing. And I was happy with it, you know. I wouldn't have been happy with two tin cans, but I was very happy with that. But now, my six-year-old granddaughter's got one of these. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, there was a time when people were satisfied with these. And there was a time when I was satisfied with this. But of course, nowadays, satisfaction moves on, and unless a child's got one of these, then they're not satisfied, are they? Now, of course, it doesn't only apply to phones, does it? We keep chasing and chasing the next thing. And some of us are not satisfied with what we've got. And into this lack of satisfaction, Jesus says to us, do you know what? I'm enough for you. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you? You don't need to tell anybody this, but how satisfied are you with your job on a scale of 1 to 10? Or not having a job? How satisfied are you with the amount of your pension or your income? How satisfied are you about relationships that you have? Perhaps your marriage, or perhaps your friendships, or perhaps with your colleagues at work, or your children, or your parents. How satisfied are you with your home, or your car, or the size of your television? They're getting bigger and bigger, aren't they? How satisfied are you with the amount you've got in the bank? Or how satisfied are you with your minister at the moment? Or how satisfied are you with your circumstances in life? You see, we all have a scale of satisfaction depending on what it is. Satisfied with what maybe it should be or could be or might be, or maybe my expectations are too high or too low. Now, Bono and his friends, unfortunately, they still haven't found what they were looking for. And Mick Jagger and his friends still can't get no satisfaction. And they've tried, and they've tried, and they've tried, and they've tried, but they still can't get no satisfaction. Do you see the heart of the world we live in? But not just in 2019, but way back forever, we've lived in a world where people are dissatisfied with what they've got. Even, dare I say, dissatisfied with what God has given to them as well. And some of it is good because we're designed to reach out for more. You know, God has put into us this hunger for more, but more of the right things, more of Him, when all the time we're trying to substitute to find satisfaction in so many different things other than Him. I mean, the story of the people of Israel is a case in point in this. Taken into slavery, desperate to be set free, and then they carried on grumbling and complaining. That what they'd longed for so long suddenly wasn't enough for them. What they'd really got, once they got it, wasn't enough because they wanted more of it. And sadly, nothing that God could do was ever enough for them. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2, we read that the whole community grumbled They were dissatisfied. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They'd rather be in Egypt than in the freedom of the wilderness. In Egypt, they sort of began, they began to lose sight of what Egypt was like, where they were slaves, where they didn't have enough food to eat. And they said, if only we can go back there, life would be so much better if we could go back to that place there. They'd lost sight of exactly what God had done for them. And of course, they wanted food. And what did God provide for them in that place? He provided for them manna. They wanted food, and God provided for them. But of course, it didn't take them long to start getting fed up of even the manna that God had provided for them. See, God offers to us what we need, but we always seem to want something else. And all along, all that God wants to do is to give us what we need, but even that we get dissatisfied with. The people had left Egypt, but they hadn't arrived in the land of promise. And how quickly they began to feel dissatisfied with their lives again. And so the complaints start. And God is used to complaints. He's heard them many times before. But time and again, they began complaining to him. It says in Numbers chapter 11 that after 2 years of eating manna, they were sick of it. They were absolutely sick of it. And they started looking for some other answer to their problems. How easy it is to start looking for another solution when we don't think that God has provided exactly what it is we want. But God gives us what we need, even when we're looking for something else. Now, my granddad was a baker. And I have vivid memories as a kid being able to go into his bakery. And he used to say to me when I went into his bakery, you can have exactly what you want. Isn't that a wonderful thing for a five-year-old child to be invited to have in a bakery, don't you think? I mean, what an amazing thing to go into a proper bakery and be told you can have exactly what you want. But there are only so many donuts you can eat, aren't there? I don't know what your limit is, but I very quickly found the limit of what I could eat. I was sick of them after a while because I had too much. But how easy it is for us to get sick of what we have. We're sick of our job. We're sick of our parents telling us what to do. We're sick of our teenagers not doing what we want them to do. We're sick of not having enough money. We're sick of the traffic that we have to sit in every single day. We just are sick of it. The same old thing, and so we chase the new. We try to be relevant when all the time just God wants us to do something significant. And so perhaps it's not surprising that the people of Israel were sick of eating manna after 40 years, is it? But God had provided it for them. And yet they still grumbled and complained at his provision. In Numbers chapter 11, the story takes a little bit of a turn. Because God starts to give them meat to eat. He's such a generous God, you see. He'd heard their grumbling and their complaining, and so he decided that he would change their diet for them. And so in Numbers chapter 11, verse 18, it says this, "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat." That's not a very wailing voice, is it? I'm sure some of you are good at wailing, are you? Got practice at wailing. "If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt," which is a complete and utter lie and a rewriting of history. "Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just 1 day or 2 days or 5 days, 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it." Don't you love God? Don't you love his sense of humor? If you want meat, here it is. You can have it. You can have so much that there'll come a day when you've eaten so much of it, it's going to come out of your nostrils and you're going to loathe it. And I'm guessing that some of us have wailed for meat, wailed for something else. And God has said, well, here it is. And very quickly we've got sick of it. Because it's not what God wants us to have. He wants us to have what he provides, because that is what we need. It's going to come out of your nostrils. Sorry, I'm going to say this again because it's horrible, isn't it? Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? God says there's a time when you need to trust whatever it is he's providing, because what he gives you is good for you. We try everything to fill the gap, and God says, just come to me. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. This is what I'm providing for you. This is what you need. You need to look to me and be satisfied. You know, we look in all sorts of different places to fill the gap. But Jesus says, you know, there's one place to come, and you need to fix your eyes on me. Yeah, we always want more, but God says, Jesus says, I'm going to give you enough.